When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Nearly forgot what to do.
She's back.
She's back.
Hi, everyone.
Today we're talking with Dr. Josie Perry about running and stress.
Ooh.
Are you back, Jane? That's the major news. You're back on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm back because people will see this title and feel stressed and then they'll hear me and they'll be like, ah, oh, she's like, back.
Oh, that's fine.
What
or
a relief.
They'll be like, she is the most stressy version of the two, so we'll get her on.
Do you find running stressful or is it the great stress reliever, both of you?
A bit of both. I think training for something is stressful. Running itself makes me not stressed. So what can we conclude from that?
Don't know. Don't train for things, just go running.
I think that's really true. I think like that running starts off as a stress reliever and then the more serious you get about it, the less of a stress reliever it is, and it can sort of go into the other side of things and be a stress creator. Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's definitely been that for me at times, I think. So I think there's a fine balance to be had with anything you're passionate about, right? And you can kind of kill it by being, I don't know, super serious about it or kind of it being all about performance. And I think that's an area I've got into, definitely.
Oh, for sure. I think that we're society. I mean, this is a super niche aspect of it, but when it becomes anything to do with your work as well, which is what we have, then it becomes that kind of sucks a bit of the joy from it. Sorry, everyone, to dispel the myth or something. But it does kind of actually make it, you know, if you take something that you really enjoy and then you sort of every single day immersed in it. I don't know, that kind of for a bit, I've had that where I've just been like, oh man, I just want to go for a run. I don't want it to be like tied up with work or a race or doing all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so but
I think as a rule we don't talk enough about my years in the wedding band.
It's true, we don't.
I can report that the same thing can happen with music. Like I think that, you know, after about 5 years of singing Brown Eyed Girl, I really didn't want to sing.
Imagine how Van Morrison feels.
Yeah. So and it because it was this sort of job thing that was on like sort of Saturdays or Fridays, and it kind of so the same thing can happen. It can, you know, music absolutely is a sort of stress reliever, I think.
But what if
you
do it in the wrong capacity. What was the most requested first dance,
same
Rick?
Question. Had exactly the same.
Actually, I think this is the era we were in, but remember that Jason Mraz song, I'm Yours?
Yeah, no. Classic.
That was every other weekend was I'm Yours.
What about
Ed Sheeran? Or were you before Ed Sheeran's
time? We were a little bit pre-Ed. Anyway, look, we've digressed. Running as a because the thing is about running, right, is that it is absolutely touted as a stress reliever. And there's lots of science to back up the idea that running can make you not only less stressed but also more resilient to stress.
Mm, for sure.
So and I think that's actually it's kind of reason enough to move around. I don't think it necessarily has to be running. Personally, I think walking can probably provide some of those.
Same exercise in general is. That's why, you know.
Do you think like CrossFit? Is anyone getting stress relief from like CrossFit? Probably are.
Yeah. I mean,
it's stressful, that stuff.
The few times that I've. Well, I think it's stressful because it's such a skill set. Once you've got the skills.
I think it's stressful because it's people throwing weights in like a warehouse.
It's kind of aggro.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
I find that
terrifying. That makes me feel sick just thinking about that situation.
That's all fine. I'm not that bothered about it. Poor form stresses me out. If I saw someone doing something and I mean I'm obviously not a trainer in any capacity, but if I saw someone's like back looking like it was about to snap in two as they tried to lift a weight that was too big, that would stress me out a lot. So I think that but I know what you mean about CrossFit, but I would find going to the gym de-stressful if you're sort of like, because anything that helps makes you feel physically like you've conquered something. I think that's kind of like where the de-stressing comes from. If stress is sort of like an accumulated sense of like tension, and then doing something to release that, I think is, that's how I see it, is anything that, that goes that way is kind of good. So running is obviously one of those.
I have to say, I find the kind of the new type of exercise classes where it looks like it's, you know, it's a little bit like you're in Laser Quest and someone's like playing some sort of banging music. I don't find that stress relieving at all, actually. It's often, you're often paying a lot of money for it, and I'd put spinning classes in that. I think if I compare that from to a, say, an easy trail run somewhere nice, one of those ideas really I find quite sort of anxiety reducing, and the other one I just find really, really stressful.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I can't remember, was it Barry's or something, Rick? I don't know why we were there, but we found ourselves in that situation together, and I kept looking at you being like, I think I'm going to cry, because it was so flashing lights and like, sprint, sprint, go. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is hell on earth. But people must love that. People must get like a buzz from it. Whereas I, no, like, I don't want PRs to hear this and be like, she's never going to Barry's again. But
dear Barry, we apologise.
Dear Barry, I'm sorry, but it's not for me. It's
no, I'm not. I think all of those, like, I think the modern incarnations, or the modern fusing of like why exercise has to be done like you're at a rave. I don't get that. Like, I don't. Those two things can be separate. Like, that doesn't. It doesn't have to be super loud and like ridiculous sensory overload stuff. I think that the two things that I would say is a bit more stressful, definitely.
Yeah, well, one of the things I want to ask Josie is if there is a type of running that is more stress relief.
City. I reckon city running is the most stressful, and something like running, or maybe something like sketchy, like a real alpine ridge where it's like high levels of death. Like,
I disagree. No, I think trail running, I've got better at trail running. I'm finding it more interesting, but I also find it stressful in that I'm constantly in fear that I'm going to break an ankle, which you don't get on the pavement.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
You have traffic. You do have, I don't know, pollution. I guess just traffic, pollution. But yeah, trail running, there's just so many obstacles. I feel like
there's more to consider, yeah.
There's more to consider, and it's just very uneven. Every time I go trail running, I either fall over or kind of roll an ankle. But maybe that's part of the challenge. I do feel like I'm in PE whenever I do trail running.
I think it's got to do with the scenery. I think being immersed in green, and there's definitely scientific stuff about this.
Yeah, that's probably true.
What happens to your brain when it's surrounded by nature? Is an immediate, there is like a completely positive de-stressing.
But I think if I go for a walk in nature, I feel like 10 out of 10. If I go for a run, I feel 7 out of 10, because I've probably got a sore ankle.
Danger. Yeah. Because of the danger.
So I've probably fallen over and have like a big muddy patch on my knee, and people are like, wow, she's really bad at running.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Our guest this week is a sports psychologist and author of 10 Pillars of Success. Dr. Josie Perry has worked with both elite and amateur runners to help them become quicker, happier versions of themselves and perform better when it matters. So welcome to the Runner's World podcast. Yeah, great to have you back on. Before we sort of get into the discussion, what do we mean when we say stress?
So the psychological definition we use is that stress is when you don't feel like you have the capacity or the capability to handle some of the stressors that have been thrown at you. So what feels like a stressor to me that might stress me out because I haven't got the time to do it or I haven't got the skills to handle it might be absolutely fine to you because you've got those skills. And so it's a stressor, but it doesn't cause you stress. So it's really helpful to think about, we have hundreds of stressors, potential stressors in life. There's one long list that's been created for day-to-day life that I think's got 147 potential stressors on it.
Wow, that list sounds stressful.
It does, but far worse actually. There's a list for elite athletes that has, I think, 339 different stressors on it. And some of those won't be applicable to us as regular runners, things like sponsorship worries, but a lot of them are things like injury worries. How do you fit it into your lifestyle? How do you get the right nutrition? Are you doing too much? Are you doing too little? Are you in a safe place where you can easily go and run? And then so you look, you've got almost 500 different stressors that we could be up against. We're then looking at, do we feel like we have the capacity and capability to handle those that are in our kind of basket in front of us?
Wow. Yeah, I think when you break it down like that, it does feel like, and as you say, like everyone's skill set will determine kind of what is a stressor, right? So that's kind of where it comes in. So if anyone's new to running, they're basically mastering a new skill. So running is a stress. Whereas once it's mastered, then there's other loads of other elements that come into it.
Yeah.
Right, got it.
So yeah, at the beginning, it might be you're actually worried about whether you can even complete that distance. Once you've completed the distance regularly, it'll be whether you can be competitive over that distance. Or are people judging you because you've had some great run of results and now you're worried that you're not going to achieve those? So we all manage to find our own stress and to bring it in. And that's why if you're trying to perform at a high level, we'll find extra elements, extra stressors to add in. But it's really helpful to know them.
Is it like, I always relate everything back to training my dog, but when we were training Toby, it was like little stresses stack up. So if he's already like a 7 out of 10 and then the bus comes along and it's like a 5 out of 10, he's like, whoa, can't cope. Is that the same in humans where like the pandemic and then
we're all
something
else
happens?
Like Toby.
We're yeah. all trying, yeah. we're all learning how to cope with life at the same time.
That's perfect. I say it's our brains are really good at compartmentalizing the things we've got going on in life. So in your brain, it's like you've got buckets of stress. So I might have stress around the fact we're in a global pandemic, the fact I've currently got an injury, so I can't run, my daughter's homework that I haven't helped her with, a work issue you've got going on, a friend you might have fallen out with, and you'll have buckets of stress. And they might only be 30% full. But if you've got 5 buckets that are 30% full, your body only sees one bucket of stress. And so your body will be feeling 150% of stress and will be really freaking out, just like Toby.
Yeah.
So
Toby at the bus.
So one of the things I will do with the athletes I work with is I will give them that list of 147 life stresses and we'll work through which ones are they having to handle. We'll name them. We'll theme them. So it's like, oh, this is my theme on relationships, or this is my theme around running. And then we'll tackle one at a time of like, okay, right now this feels too big to handle. It's too stressful. It's freaking you out and you're not behaving in the way that you want to behave around it. But let's really proactively tackle this area. What can we do? It might be find a really good physio. It might be join a club. It might be try and make better connections online. It might be get a coach. And you can really pull it apart and go, how do I make this feel less stressful? How do I give myself the capability or capacity to handle this area? And then actually, it's far less stressful. And I can move on to the next bucket of stress that I'm dealing with.
Do you find that stress is kind of a control issue? Is that where, so if you take the list and you're naming these things and then working through them in a sort of orderly fashion like that, Is it a sense of having control over the stresses, or is it just a management of how much you sort of focus on them?
So control can be really helpful because it makes us feel like things aren't on top of us. We're looking after those things. So absolutely that can be helpful. But there are many things in life we have absolutely zero control over. And actually accepting that rather than fighting it is really helpful. So another technique I'll do with athletes is called a control map. And we'll literally get 3 columns on a sheet of paper and we'll write down, what can you control about the race you've got coming up? What have you got no control over whatsoever? And the one most runners will worry about is the weather or the hills, the course that they're going to go on. And it's like, you can't control either of those. And yet you are wasting so much energy worrying about them and being anxious over them. And so being really blunt, there's this whole list of things you can do nothing about. If you're going to waste all that energy, you're not spending the time and the energy worried about the things you can do about, like the preparation, the training, the warm-up you do. So we really then try and move runners onto focusing on the stuff they can control, and that makes them feel much better about what they're approaching.
Why is it so important, Josie, to keep on top of stress? Like, what would be the some of the consequences of getting too stressed out, and how would that affect your running and your life?
Well, short-term stress can actually be okay for us. When we get that short-term burst of anxiety, we've got cortisol, we've got adrenaline rushing around our body. It prepares us for handling the stressful thing, and sometimes that can be helpful. Sometimes it's really unhelpful and we need techniques to kind of reel back from it. But short-term, it's okay. Long-term, so kind of chronic stress, chronic anxiety, is incredibly harmful for our body because we're continually flooding our body with unhelpful chemicals. So IBS is something that's connected a lot to stress and anxiety. And the last thing a runner wants is IBS, because it means you're out there running and you've got stomach cramps. You feel like you need to go to the toilet the whole time. Your heart rate gets raised all the time. Your breathing rate is constantly raised. One of the things we see when you've got those chemicals flooding your body, tight shoulders, really tight muscles that you just cannot move. We see that, say, in tennis when somebody's completely freaking out about the fact
that
suddenly
they're
playing.
Yeah, they say get tight, right?
Yeah, they really can, and you just can't play the same. We saw it with Simone Biles at the Olympics at the summer. She couldn't do her performance when she's that anxious. She'd really harm herself. So if you've got that all of the time, and people that have been for like a sports massage and they lie down on the table and their masseur is like, wow, you've got knots in your shoulders, that's not from their running, it's from kind of long-term chronic stresses that we've got that are making our body feel really uncomfortable. It makes us feel uncomfortable when you've got the same ruminating thoughts running around your head, making you feel rubbish.
So, I mean, I think because we've sort of talked a bit on sort of the things with running that can be stressful, but I think a lot of people get into running because it is a great reliever of stress. So how does that sort of play out? What are the sort of the things that are happening to a person when they run that allows it to be such a reliever?
So they're doing lots of research into this area about why it's helpful. There's a number of different theories. So one of them is that it provides a distraction. So when you're actually focused either on the podcast you're listening to, or the music, or the sound of your feet, or you're running with others and chatting, it's a really good distraction from the things that are stressing you out, because you can't go and do anything about them. At that moment, it's your time, you're focused on something. So just for the distraction itself, it's really helpful. Then there's this idea that exercise changes our physiology. So the part of our brain that causes the kind of the threat part of our brain, the amygdala, gets switched on when we're really, really stressed, when we're really anxious, and that causes that trigger of all those chemicals around our body. But when we're running, we know that blood goes to our prefrontal cortex, and that's a really cool part of our brain. That's the part of our brain that makes really good decisions, helps us think creatively. It connects to our hippocampus, which is where we make good memories and our knowledge is based. So actually, if we're sending lots of blood to that area, it helps that trigger a lot more, and that's great. We start to be able to make good decisions. We start to be more creative in our thinking. We start to figure things out. So those can be really helpful to change some of that physiology that we're feeling. And there's other really basic ideas around actually just having a warmer body and having increased blood flow helps us feel better. And then we have the things about the endorphins that you get afterwards, and that smugness when you've got your run done and you're like, yes, done it for today. I get to write it in my training diary. I get that great feeling in my brain from the dopamine going, that I've ticked something off that I'm working towards. So there's lots of different theories, but all of them lead us to this can be a really good way to combat anxiety.
What do you think? Because I find the act of running to be a stress relief, but everything around running, and I'm talking mainly about social media and Strava, to be the worst possible thing in the world, and it just stresses me out. Do athletes feel this too? And what should we do to, like, still love running? But I guess it's just delete social media, isn't it? But that seems extreme.
I think social media can be brilliant for some elements. So one of the ways that we get really intrinsically motivated to do the activities we do is by feeling part of a community and having a sense of belonging to what we do. Social media can be really good for that. So when I'm on a Facebook group at the moment, 30 and 30, and it's everybody running every day in November. And I can't do it because I'm injured, but actually I'm following what everyone else is doing, and it's helping me with my physio and my recovery and doing my own thing, because they help me feel motivated, and it's a really nice community. And so social media stuff can be great for that. It's when it becomes a pressure and it's comparisons that it gets bad. So I did some research a few years ago on exercise addiction and whether it was increased by the use of technology. And one of the interviews I did, I will never forget, because this girl talked about how she had been injured and she'd been off running, and she went for her first run back, and she just said it was a brilliant run by the river and it was a beautiful sunny day and she just had a brilliant time, and she remembered why she loved running so much. And she walked in the door and her watch uploaded to Strava, and she saw that her brother had run further than her and her friends had run faster than her, and she felt an utter failure. It was a complete waste of a morning because everyone else was better and she was a rubbish runner. Because she'd had a brilliant run until she knew what other people had done. And running can really fuel those comparisons, because we're comparing ourselves to very clear speeds, distances. And so it feels very easy to compare ourselves to others, even though we're often running for very, very different reasons. There's a race group I go to, and they have a brilliant sign that they stick up saying, don't measure yourself along someone else's ruler. And I think that's so important, because you can't help it. You'll look and see what somebody else has been doing, how far they go, what distances they do. And yet that is not why I run. I run for the headspace it gives me, the sense of achievement I get, the fact I get to meet brilliant people, and yet I still then get upset because I'm not doing as well as other people that have got entirely different genes to me, a different background, different environment, different lifestyle. So if you can, I wouldn't say you have to switch off every tech you use, but certainly have some runs where you don't measure, you just go out for the joy of it, and to be really aware, and I guess self-awareness of, am I measuring myself by somebody else's ruler here? Or should I be looking at my values for running and measuring myself against those values?
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
We're wondering if there's a type of running that is particularly good for stress relief. I'm probably making generalizations here, but I guess that our thought was, track intervals might give you a buzz, but maybe they're not a stress relieving thing, whereas a kind of long slow walk in slow run in the country might be.
I think it's really personal on what you love, and we all get a different buzz from different things. I would say the stress comes when it's competitive and when it's very easy to measure. And then maybe when it's new and different. So there are certain environments. My husband does ultra running, and I've seen some of the courses they do along kind of the Southwest Coastal Path, and they terrify me. It wouldn't just be, can I do the distance? It was like, can I not fall off the edge of a cliff?
Yeah.
So that would be very stressful for me because I haven't got the capability and the capacity to do it. He has. He would find that much more enjoyable than something where he's being measured on a track. So finding your comfort zone in running, I think, is really important. Of the, when I am feeling stressed, where is my comfort zone? There is some nice research that talks about green and blue running, that talks about when we are running outside, it's really helpful to either be in the greenery or to be near a river. And they do this really nice way of researching runners where they stick a microphone on people and they will go out for a run, and those participants will talk the whole time to the microphone about what they're enjoying and what thoughts are going through their head whilst they're doing it. So they can kind of try and work out what types of running are good for us, what we get the most enjoyment from. And they find it's running near blue water or running kind of through greenery. So I would say if you're having a really stressful day, a run through the centre of London is probably not going to be a brilliant idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But taking the Thames path home or going out to your local reservoir that you can run around the edge might be much better for you.
I would hate to listen to whatever I said on that microphone. I think it'd be absolutely insane. Can you imagine? Those poor people.
The research, they should, you should definitely be part of that program, the research show.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, I don't even know what would come out of my mouth if you recorded me for an hour of running.
It's interesting that I think people start off very cognizant of the fact that they're being recorded, and they probably rein it in.
Yeah.
And we'll get a lot more open towards the end of it.
It's probably like this podcast. People probably heard what I'd say.
Is there any benefit, Josie, like, because I know sort of like in general anxiety, to sort of expand your comfort zone and to do these sort of stretch experiences, what you call, actually is something that would be encouraged. Could you use running in that way and say, look, actually, I know I can do the sort of long, slow stuff. What I need to do actually is put myself deliberately under stress in my running. And as a result, my everyday life, if I go and have a positive experience, I'll actually feel less stressed as a result.
Oh, it's a tricky one. I think you can only handle stress in one area at a time, really. And so if everything else in your life feels quite comfortable, you're happy in your relationships, you've got good friendships going on, you're doing okay at work, then that's the time to go out and go, right, how can I push my running? How can I go and do that sub 3 hour marathon I wanted to do? Go and do that sub hour 10K, whatever your thing is. But you kind of need the rest of the environment to be going well. If you're somebody who likes high performance and thrives at that and is really pushing, you end up getting burnt out because you try and then go and achieve highly in every single area. And when I think about when our threat response can get triggered in our brain, there's kind of two elements to it. One is when values that are important to you become violated. So if high performance to you is really important to you, it's a massive value of yours, and you go off and do something and you're not going to be able to achieve at high performance, you're much more likely to feel stressed and anxious. But I also feel there's like a threshold for that threat response to go, and we need to make that threshold as high as possible by creating a really nice environment for ourselves in our lives. And when we start to lower that threshold, we're much more likely to be triggered. And things that might lower the threshold are brand new experiences, a global pandemic, not being really well or unhealthy, injury risk, being hungry, being tired, having fallen out with somebody. And the more we can think of how do we create a high threshold for that threat system to go off by putting all these other good things in our life, then we can push ourselves with our running. But if we've got a low threshold and then we go off and try and achieve amazing things, we're much more likely to feel anxious about it.
I think that the great, and then you probably have this I don't know. I would say as a non-professional runner, I stress quite a lot about injury, but injury, I guess from an athletic, from a, an athlete performance point of view, must be a great point of stress, as in the potential of and then recovering from. How is that sort of part and parcel of the stress of running, and how, and sort of how do you deal with that with athletes?
I would say you're talking about the threat of and recovery from. The worst element is actually after that. It's the fear of re-injury. Because at that point, you know how hard it is to come back. You know the pain you've been through. You know the frustration. You missed a bunch of your goals or races that you wanted to do. And you're constantly looking out for a trigger or a noticing of something that it's coming back. And so you're on high alert the whole time. So you're already more alert for things coming up. You're feeling very stressful. And I, if there was one thing I could figure out, I would make my millions from this, it's how do runners and athletes distinguish discomfort from pain? Because to do well, we need to be uncomfortable at times. We need to be able to push ourselves just beyond our comfort zones, and that's going to be discomfort. But we need to be able to pull back very quickly when we spot pain, because pain means something's injured, something's hurt, and we need to stop before we make it worse. And that's a constant tightrope for athletes and runners to try and navigate of how is this discomfort, particularly coming back from an injury, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're doing something your body hasn't done for a while, and where is it pain? And where do I stop? And that's the area we just end up questioning ourselves all of the time. And I guess the only advice I have there is to take things really slowly so that you don't push yourself too far and have to reel back too far. So it's like just the tiny, tiny baby steps until you can feel that, yes, it's a little bit uncomfortable because I'm doing something I haven't done for ages, but it's not painful.
There you go. I definitely can relate to that, having been injured and then you come back from an injury, and it's actually physically you're aware that everything is healed, or that, you know, the original symptoms have gone, and you're actually just, if you were able to switch off your brain and just let your body move, your body would feel fine and you'd probably relax into it more and thus feel better. But then the stress comes in, muscle tightness, everything, you freak out, and then you're
so it feels,
yeah,
worse.
It feels much worse.
And you hit the nail on the head there with this idea, if I could switch my brain off. So I would say well over half the people that come to see me come because of anxiety, performance anxiety around their sport. And they all say, my body knows what to do. I've done all the training. It's fast enough. If I could just take my brain out of my head, I would do brilliantly. And we think about stress as being a very mental thing. But actually, it has really strong physiological responses on our body. And we try and separate out brain and body when it comes to sport. And we should think of them much more connected. Because when we're anxious, when we're feeling those stresses that we can't handle, it causes huge issues physiologically. And then we can't respond in the way that we want to. We can't give the performance that we want to. So I think it would be more helpful if we really thought of them as connected. And not as a, I just want to take my brain out and my body would be fine. Because obviously we can't anyway, but they really, really interconnect.
I think that's we always talk about Kipchoge and his smiling and how he's sort of beyond his incredible physiological capabilities, his attitude tends to be the thing that really sets him apart. And that sort of positivity and the smiling and the sort of like all the stuff that you kind of hoped you'd be able to do. And I feel like that's an example possibly of where that the brain body combo is actually a real winner.
Yeah, so my cheesiest line as a sports psychologist is grinning is winning.
Oh, on a it's put it on a mug, it's fine.
We've had we've had motion is lotion before, shall we? Yeah, motion is lotion, grinning is winning.
It's super cheesy, but there's some really good research in this area where they have looked at runners on treadmills and got them to smile at certain points. And the runners will feedback afterwards, it reduced the perception of effort that they were feeling they were putting into that session. And so they can either go for longer or they can go harder or they enjoy it more. There's some other research they did on cyclists where whilst they were cycling in a lab, they flashed up photos of people far too quick to really notice. But half of them saw photos of people smiling and half of them saw photos of people grimacing. And the people that saw people smiling were able to go 16% longer than the people who saw the grumpy, grimacing faces. So I love the idea that when we're running a race, if we smile, we reduce our perception of effort, but we also then tend to get supporters smiling back at us, and that again helps us feel better. So you get kind of double bubble from it. So and another cheesy one we end up bringing up is smile every mile. So every time you go through a mile marker, give yourself a grin, and it actually then helps you feel a bit better.
Yeah. I love that. It's so easy as well, isn't it? It doesn't require any equipment. It's just sort of slightly change of perspective on stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Josie, thanks so much for coming on the Runner's World podcast. Great to talk to you about running and stress relief. Thanks very, very much for your time. And we'd love to get you back on at some point in the near future.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Dr. Josie Perry, and to you, of course, for listening.
You should subscribe to Runner's World magazine. You can either get 3 issues for £5 and by visiting hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer, or you should just subscribe to the whole thing because then you get 12 issues a year, one of the only magazines really in existence anymore that comes out 12 issues a year, thus making it the best. Also, you're listening to the Runner's World podcast. Congratulations. I do hope you've clicked subscribe. If you haven't, please do. Then send a link to all your friends and tell them to listen to this fantastic running podcast because they'll need it in their lives, especially this episode about stress, because everyone's got stress and we don't need any more stress. We don't want no stress.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.